Great morning, everyone. Welcome to Earl, a celebration of life. It is great to see family members, friends, listeners, colleagues, everyone who knew exactly what he represented for very close to 72 years. He's touched all of us in our own way. We have close to 30 speakers. We have a little halftime interlude. We have two very, very, very special guests. And if you look up on these televisions, you will see cycling through a slideshow that Earl's son Hamisi put together. Some fantastic shots taking you through the years. And you'll have some image of Earl there, I'm sure, that you recognize and remember. I am Jack Ebling, and I am joined by...
I am Al Martin, the host of WKAR's Current Sports. I'm the guy that tried to fill the very big shoes of Earl Robinson over at KAR. And we'll be your host or MCs for the morning and early afternoon.
Absolutely. And we're going to be working the room. One of us will be up here. We have a very special award that we're going to unveil in Earl's name in perpetuity at WKAR. This room is, we're blessed to have Hall of Famer Irvin Johnson with us. We have a very special video from Tom Izzo, who's out there trying to get some more Spartans. But Al, I think maybe we'll have you start to work the room here. And is Jimmy Edwards here? Jimmy, you're our leadoff hitter. Can you give us, stand up and give us 3 or 4 minutes about Earl? If we go over 4.5 minutes, you're going to get electronic prod, so.
Yeah, we don't want to, I might have to, I've been in the gym lately, Jack, so I don't have to, like, flex a little bit, all right? But 4 minutes, I'm sorry. He's a retired police officer, so this isn't the one that I should be messing with right now. But, all right, and everybody that speaks, again, just keep the mic as close to your mouth as possible, all right? So everybody can hear, okay?
They didn't tell me I was going to be leading off. I used to bat fourth all the time. Can you hear me?
There you go. Okay,
they didn't tell me I was going to be leading off. I used to bat fourth all the time on the baseball team. So instead of cleaning up, I guess I'll lead off with, I met Earl, re-met Earl, when I was 10 years old. And there's a lot of stories that I could tell you. But Earl always reminds me that he took all my marbles. Always willing to play marbles with me, and I'd always have to go to the store and get some more. I spent a lot of time in Earl's grandmother's basement. He lived at 1810 Broad Street back in the day. I lived 3 houses down. His phone number was Cedar, at CE23-37442. So, obviously, we talked a lot. And one of the things he liked to call me was, I don't know why, he never explained it, Duck. But he was a very loving guy. He would give you anything you needed, especially advice. And he could be counted on to do what he said he was going to do. He loved everybody he was around. If he had a problem with you, he'd let you know gladly. So, Earl, I hope I honor you by saying this. We all feel blessed to have known you. We wish we could have spent more time with you. And for those of you who are still here, if you have somebody you care about, take time, give them that extra minute, because I wish I had done the same with Earl. God bless y'all, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
Spectacular, Jimmy. Earl had so many best friends, you can't count them. And one of them going back as long as you can go, back to Flint. Fantastic quarterback. Earl always used to tell me he was the best quarterback that a lot of people didn't know about. And then the more you found out about Tiny Laster, you realized he wasn't joking. But we have Tiny with us now. And Al, if you can give that mic to Tiny right over here.
Of course.
He is going to tell us some Earl stories. And this is going to be tough. You got to keep this under 2 hours, Tiny.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay, thank you. Wow, thanks for everybody coming and showing the love for Earl. Wow, I guess I'll put it this way. I will talk about Earl really to his family because they will probably remember. Earl and I, as Jimmy had mentioned, really met each other in 1957. We were about 10 years old in the same grade, elementary school. And the beauty about Earl, I was trying to figure out, I had a note. I got to keep them so I don't get mad. All right. Look here. I've been kicked out of church and stuff before we do that. You know, so I hope that's not the case this time. But I wanted to say, find what words to describe Earl. There's so many of them. But I'm going to use one that I think each and every one of y'all will recognize. Pioneer. Most of us know as Flintstone. Well, we won't call us the Flint Pebbles because we were kind of early. What is a pioneer? And I'm doing this without my glasses. Could you read it for me?
I'll read it. A pioneer, one who goes before preparing the way for others.
And this, that was Earl. And I wanted to say this. Thanks, Lynn. Oh, why? Short story, very short story. We lived in the segregated part of Flint, but it was just beginning to get integrated. Earl, Sam, and I was the first blacks to move into the white area. And I can remember one summer, and I can tell you the year, 1959. We just finished elementary, Sunday school. Back in those days, every child went to church, all right? I don't know how it is today, but we had to do that back in those days. And they always asked you what you wanted to be. And so I didn't go to the same church with Earl, but right after church, I run over to Grandma Fee's house. And so his mother and his grandmother was teasing him that he had a girlfriend. Wow, you know, he's 12 years old, you know, that's something big. And I said, Earl, you got a girlfriend. He's the first one in the neighborhood. He got a girlfriend, okay? And back in the day, where was the girlfriend, while they was teasing him, while they was in church, he was holding hands. That was the big issue. But we went outside, sat down in the curb. Two little black kids in the middle of Flint, sitting down. And Earl now is going to tell me what he's going to do in life. I'm sitting there waiting, hoping to hear about this holding hand deal. Because you know, that's very new to me. I'm trying to figure out how that's going to handle. Because the next big thing after holding hand is a kiss. So we sitting down there. He got my attention. Just me and Earl. Sitting down on the curb. And he said, well, Tiny, we finished and graduated from high school. I'm going to work in the shop for a few years, save my money, go to the broadcast school, get my license, and then I'm going to Michigan State. Now, I ain't thinking about college. I'm just sitting down. I'm waiting on the chance to tell me about the kiss or the hand. This young man is telling me all what he's going to do. And I'm going to tell you this, he did every one of those things. I did not know his vision was also for me, because next thing I know, I'm right behind him. I'm going through the same thing. So my man, I always loved him. He was always been my best friend. And what I loved the most about him, he made everybody feel like he was their best friend. He was probably the greatest communicator that I ever known. Even though, I tell you the truth, he might could sing, but he couldn't dance. Thank you.
He couldn't dance, Jack.
Couldn't dance.
Could not dance at all.
Thanks so much, Tiny. Now we found out that he had a girlfriend at a young age. We're not going to talk about Gladys Knight, okay? That's another story.
That's a famous story, Jack.
That's for later. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we should have the last of the laster gentlemen here. You're going to be hearing from Tiny's wife, Lynn, a little bit later with a special presentation of some words from Ernest Hardin, the actor that you may recognize from The Jeffersons. But we're going to have Clevan Laster. Clevan? Clevan Laster.
Testing. Oh. It's working. All right. Well, I'm trying to keep it short and long, okay? Piggybacking from my brother, we grew up in the neighborhood, like he said, that everything in proximity was walking distance. We can walk to our elementary school together. We knew Earl back. I ain't going to be dating myself like my brother. But back in the day, we went to elementary school together, went to middle school together. Then they built a new high school called Southwestern. Then we lost our friend to that school. Not only our friend, he became our rival. But growing up in our neighborhood, you didn't play sports or anything like that. You were not included. You were like an outcast. And Earl was limited in athletic ability and short of stature. So we had a ninth street. We had a Olympic pad in our backyard. We had to follow my leader over here, my brother. So me and Earl, I think, contributed to his high school All-American because he was the first black high school American in Michigan as a quarterback. I think we contributed because me and Earl were like Fred Sanford and Lamont. We're the big dummies. I swear, when he said, when Ty said, use us for a wide receiver's defensive back, he always tell him to go long. We went into a couple of neighborhood backyard. We got cussed out. But Earl was the type that he would try. He would give you 110% in anything that he did. Knowing that he's limited in sports and stuff like that, he did make the Southwestern football team and ran track. And he went to go against him in high school. We just beat their butts all the time. But anyway, all I can say, Earl always gave more than ever to anybody. He always was a friend. I'm going to miss him. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you, Clevan.
Thank you very much, Clevan. You know, I think by the time we're done today, everybody's going to laugh and everybody's going to cry at least once. So I think we're in good shape there. And Al, I think it's time to talk about WKAR and his 39 years there.
Yes, 39 years. 39 years hosting Sports Talk, and I am here with the WKAR table. And I want to start with our very own Scott Pohl of WKAR News, who worked with Earl a long time. Scott?
Thanks, Al. Hi, everybody. I always had an easy time remembering details about Earl because he's 10 years older than me and started at WKAR 10 years before I did. So we had many conversations over the years. I'm sure that you will hear far more interesting and funny stories about Earl from others than you will from me. What I want to say about Earl is how important Earl was to his colleagues and to me personally as a man who grew up outside the town of Albion, which, if you know anything about Albion, over the years, especially in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of racial strife in that town. And I observed a lot of that firsthand, including the racism that many African Americans in Albion faced in those days. My observations of people like Earl were crucial to the development of people like me when it came to learning about race issues. We had a lot of conversations about race issues, and what I valued about Earl was that as a white man, I could ask him questions knowing that he would answer them without judging me for asking them. One that I remember particularly was a trip to Kansas City, Missouri, where I visited the Negro Leagues Baseball Hall of Fame. I bought a hat for the Detroit Stars. And when I got back to Lansing, it occurred to me, is it okay for me to wear a hat of the Detroit Stars from the Negro Leagues? I asked Earl, and he said, of course it's all right for you to wear that hat. I learned so much from Earl. I think everyone in this room will have very serious stories about Earl, along with the things that we're going to laugh about. I enjoy my happy memories of Earl, but what I truly value about Earl is what I learned from him as a man. Al?
Very well said. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, and I think that's something that we always, you know, we all can admire about Earl as well. He never bit his tongue, and he was always willing to speak up and speak out on what he saw and what he felt was wrong. So thank you for sharing that story, Scott. Okay, next, we have the WKAR Director of Broadcasting, Susie Elkins.
Thanks, Al.
Well, behind you.
I know Earl began his career as a broadcaster in music and had a really awesome show, but he joined WKAR in 1974 to be a co-host for and bring our listeners sports news along with another giant in broadcasting, Jim Adams. And went on to host the show solo. And although I didn't get to work directly with Earl very often, I came up on the TV side. And but I was able to observe his work, and I also learned a lot from him. When he announced his retirement after 39 years in 2013, it was hard for all of us to accept that we wouldn't hear him on the air every day, that we wouldn't be able to call in and ask him what he thought about last night's game. And so that was tough for us, his colleague at the station at WKR. And today, although it's a celebration, it's a tough day for us as well because we miss him a lot. What I learned is that Earl really became a legend in those 39 years in this business, on campus, and in this community. And that's not an easy thing to do. So, and I know that firsthand, it's tough. And the world of sports media really exploded in the time that that Earl was leading the charge. And it would have been really easy to get lost in that noise. But Earl did not. He remained in authority. And the reason he did, I believe, and what I've learned, is because he believed in relationships. Relationships with his listeners, relationships with the coaches and the athletes that he covered, relationships with people in the community and his colleagues. And that's why people continue to listen to him and consider him the ultimate authority in this community, because Earl knew what he was talking about because he had his own passion for sport. He had his passion for this community, and we are so lucky that he chose to spend his career here in this community and with WKAR. He befriended all of those folks, and they really became a part of his life, and he became a part of all of your lives. And he also mentored the students, so it's really important to us at WKAR to make sure that we're bringing up the students who really want to learn about this career or just learn about life. And I know that Earl spent a lot of time mentoring maybe many of you in this room, whether you were students of his or just friends. He mentored all of us by the way he lived his life. And I'm really grateful that I got to spend that time with him. And so, you know, I've heard Coach Izzo talk about playing one-on-one with him. I've heard Jack talk about road tripping with him. And whether he was doing that or being accepted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, Earl was just Earl. And we could count on that. And he will be missed. He was one of a kind. He was so special. And from all of us at WKAR, we love you, Earl.
Thank you so much, Susie. Hey, Al, while I get these special awards ready, why don't you talk a little bit about the Earl Robinson Award?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had been in talks as a committee with what we could do that would be special as a way of honoring Earl's name and keeping into context the essence that Susie just mentioned of giving back to students, because I am one of those students that is the product of Earl Robinson and his mentorship. You know, I remember going up to Earl when I was a student as a sophomore, when he was a speaker at my sports reporting class. And, you know, as you'll hear and we'll continue to hear throughout the day, Earl was just so down to earth and inviting when it came to mentoring students. And I became a mentee of his. And, of course, when I got the job, you know, trying to fill his shoes. He said, Al, just be you, man. just be you. You know, he always, and I remember, you know, I've told Jack this story many times. We went out to lunch after the very first episode of Current Sports that I hosted. It was kind of like a passing of the torch episode, and Earl was my guest that entire hour, right? And we went out to eat and had a great conversation, and he gave me so much confidence that I don't have to be him. Just be me and do the best job that I can do. And that gave me so much confidence. And before we got up to say our goodbyes, he said, you know what, Al, one more thing, man. I'm also so glad they went with another brother. And yeah, we cracked up at that. So, Jack, you have the awards up there. We've worked as a committee to try and do something to give back to the students, just like Earl did throughout his entire career at WKAR. So I'll pass it to you.
All right. I want Missy and Twyla to come up here for 1 second, if they would, okay? Because this is very special. This is something that's going to last forever. This is going to be on display, we believe, in the green room. Is that right, Susie?
Yes.
At WKAR. This is the plaque that's going to be given to everyone associated with this award on a yearly basis. There's going to be a recipient, a student broadcaster, who will be honored as the recipient of the Earl Robinson Award. So we take a picture of that. And then individually, Al, we thought that the winner should have something to take home in honor of Earl, and we thought, why not a broadcasting microphone, right? In honor of Earl, we got a small one. And Al, I think since he's right up here, and I don't want to have you walk all the way up, I'm going to cut behind our interpreter here. And I'm going to hand the mic to Rob Bennett. Rob, of course, was a longtime producer of Earl's, now is with Spartan Sports Network, and owes his career to Earl Robinson. Rob Bennett.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for coming today. Most of you in this room know the story with me and Earl. I came to Michigan in 2002, and I actually volunteered at WKAR. And I know that, and during that time, I was told that Earl needed a producer because his original producer was leaving. So I spoke up and said, hey, I'm starting to take communication classes here at LCC. So I spoke up, and I remember Earl taking me into his office the next day, drilling me for about 3 hours, making sure I wanted to be in this crazy business. Yeah, and I worked with him from 2002 to 2010. And much like Scott Pohl said, I think he said it perfect, it's more about the sport. And you talk about the sports all you want with Earl, but the human being, the man. And the best compliment I can give is simply, I wanted to be a better person because of Earl. There's very few people. My wife makes me want to be a better person every day. My twin brother makes me want to be a better person every day. And I'm going to put Earl in that category. I love him, I miss him, and I'm always going to remember him.
All right, Al, I think it's time to talk to some of Earl's longtime listeners, because he was a part of their life. He was a fixture from 1 to 2 with News Talk 870 Sports. And we have with us Dennis Burnside.
Where's Dennis?
Dennis is right over there at the table sitting next to the tall guy.
Of course. Yeah, who is this guy next to him?
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I don't know who this is. He just came and bogarted our table. Yeah, I met Earl in the early 80s. Well, I knew who Earl was. I was a new kid in town, graduate of Western Michigan. And everybody who knows me, let's get it on the table right now. I'm a Michigan fan, okay? But. Hey, I got to admit it. But between the Y And the softball fields and the flag football fields, I got to meet a lot of cool cats that went to Michigan State, like Cleveland, like J.D. Ross back there trying to play incognito, like the legendary Mike Robinson. I got to play ball with him. I got to play ball with Dale Beard. I mean, I met a lot of guys I'd become friends with. But once I got on Earl's show and we started talking, I really got to know these people. I mean, Charlie Wilson's my friend now. And, you know, we can go on down the line. Guys like Rick from Dearborn, legendary caller, Kirk from Grand Ledge, Don from DeWitt. We all knew each other by radio names. We started talking in real life as people. And I think you can look around this room and see the impact that Earl had on the community. This is what America is and what it looks like and how we should get along with each other. That was Earl Robinson. So I spent a lot of my youth, almost every, I should be at the WKAR table because I called almost every day and we talked football, basketball, mainly boxing, but the main thing about Earl's show was it was topical. Things that we take for granted now back then were controversial. Like Earl and I used to always talk about the dearth of black quarterbacks in the NFL. We'd ask the question, why aren't there black quarterbacks in the NFL? They're playing in college, which wasn't always the case, as Tiny Laster. Why aren't they playing in the NFL? Why aren't there more black head coaches in the NFL? Well, nowadays we look around and we see the landscape. It's changed, and it's changed significantly. We kind of take it for granted. It wasn't all that long ago that we weren't given those opportunities. And Earl was a man who wasn't afraid to let someone like me, who had a big mouth and wasn't afraid to say what I thought about racial relationships, on his show almost every day to make these points. And I really miss Earl. He became a very good friend of mine. There's not a fight that comes on like the fight tonight that the next day I don't think about two people. My late father, who was a boxer in the military, who turned me into a big fight fan, and Earl Robinson. I always wanted to chop it up with them after the fight. Like, man, did you see that? But the dude's right hand, you know, the left hook, all these things come to mind, and it's like, I can't talk to him, and it's frustrating. But I just want to thank Earl for being who he was, bringing us all together, what he did in this room. And Earl had such an impact on me now to this very day. And Al, I have to apologize because I listen to your show. I do. But I don't call in the radio sports talk shows anymore. Without Earl, it's just not the same. It's like, I'll listen. I'll hear the opinions, but I really don't have much to say anymore. I think I talked too much back when Earl was hosting this show.
Yeah.
But thank you all for coming and inviting me to speak. And like you, I love Earl very much. I miss him. And there's no way I would miss this opportunity to speak on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, Jack, we may need security for Dennis when he walks out of here. I'm just saying.
You know, the fact that he doesn't call shows anymore, he's trying to put us out of business.
Yep, I sense that too.
You know, one of the things about Earl and his show, as Dennis pointed out, not only could he break down every Lions loss, and that took a while, but he was also able to deal with issues and probably did more for the discussion of issues. He had so many black friends, white friends, it didn't matter, political affiliation. He obviously Spartans, and he was even nice to Wolverines, which showed to me that he did not discriminate against those with mental impairments.
Well said, Jack. Well said.
All right. Now, we got another big Spartan here and right in front of us, and this is Don Strait in the white shirt, Don from DeWitt. And Don was a long-time listener and frequent caller to Earl. Don?
I did bring notes. Thanks for the shout-out, Dennis. Anyway, I envy those of you who knew Earl when he was a kid. I can imagine him being the kid who always wanted to play one more game, hang out a little longer, just doing anything and everything with his friends like we did back in the day. And I can just imagine him soaking in the joy of every day of summer freedom. And he had the gift of being able to cast that joy off to other people around him, especially back in a day when hanging out with your friends actually meant face-to-face contact. As an adult, Earl found the perfect venue for sharing his joy of life when he and the incomparable Jim Adams developed Sports Talk for WKAR. He, with the chemistry they had and the joyous personalities they both shared, and Earl's endless book of guests, Sports Talk became a model of excellence that all pale imitators since are reaching for. And when it came time for Earl to stand down, time for Jim to stand down, Earl took the baton flawlessly and continued to be the bar that others reached for. When he opened the show every day, it was like his voice was smiling. And I know my day was always a little better during that hour. Earl was a master showman because, like all the great ones, it was never about him. It was all about delivering an excellent show to his audience. What made Earl's show unique was that he'd allow his callers to not only question guests, but carry on extended conversation with them. I got to talk directly to a lot of great players, coaches, and writers through the years. And if it was a day when a lot of calls came in, Earl was perfectly content to let the callers carry the show, while he would squeeze in a few comments of his own when he could. Try finding a show like that out there today, where loudmouth hosts spend their time with their rants and ripping on players and coaches. Anything to get people to say, did you hear so-and-so today? Well, with Earl, it was always, did you hear Earl's show today? Earl, occasionally the guests would comment about the callers, and Earl would always gush about his audience, and again, it was never about him. When I finally met Earl at a listener appreciation day, I already felt like I'd known him for years, that I already considered him a dear friend. Beyond the talk show, like Dennis mentioned, Earl created a community of callers that we just cared about each other and cared about what they had to say. I felt a real sense of loss and admittedly shed a tear when Earl finally had to stand down. And like the great showman he was, Earl left us wanting more. It was never your, might not have been your style, Earl, but today is all about you. One day I'll come around for my share of the more that you left us wanting. Until then, I know you're helping make the most beautiful place imaginable a little better.
Thank you, Don. You might not recognize Don Straight, but you probably recognize Don from DeWitt. That's who that was. All right. All right. Deshaun Tate is a guy who was inspired by Earl, and then now has carved out a great career in Atlanta as a hoops guru, high school, college, pro scene. Maybe you've seen Tate's Take. If you haven't, you should. You'll know a lot more about basketball. And Deshaun, you want to tell us how Earl impacted your life?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me and just for being here to celebrate Earl's life. Just when I thought I was going to be the person to travel here from the furthest distance, Magic walks in and I'm like, I was feeling really good about myself until that point. But I grew up here in Lansing and, you know, listening to Earl and reading a lot of Jack's material from the journal and, you know, that's ultimately what helped inspire me to want to get into radio in Atlanta. And you got to excuse me because I'm the emotional guy sometimes. So, but I miss Earl and everything that he stands for. And, you know, he helped pave the way for not just me and not just other blacks in this business, but just for people of all color. And, you know, he didn't see color. And as a lot of us know, that's kind of difficult to, for, you know, for when we walk outside of this place, it's so many people that do. And he didn't. And just what he stood for was just, it was amazing. You know, I really, being from here and really following, growing up on Michigan State and sports and obviously, you know, Detroit, Pistons and everything else, especially basketball, there was a lot of times when I wanted to just kind of show myself. I didn't have the educational background and all the other stuff to be able to show that this is what I'm passionate about. And I want to get up there and I want to talk about it too. So I would be in Atlanta and try to get on with other shows here in Lansing to maybe be a headliner or whatever the case. And everybody would shut me down. And so when it came to WKAR, I would call in and I would be someone else, totally try to be someone else, totally different, because I thought if he knew who I was, then I was going to get shut down just like I did from everyone else. And he's like, "This is Mr. Tate from Atlanta." And I'm like, still to this day, I have no idea how he knew that. But he gave me that opportunity to come on and talk Michigan State, something I'm so passionate about. There's not a whole lot of different stuff to me. I'm not really great or really awesome, passionate about a lot of different things. But when it comes down to Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State, Detroit, Tigers, Lions, Pistons, all of that, I mean, that is my thing. And for him to tell me, "I do know who you are, but I'm going to give you this opportunity, but I just need you to be yourself. Just be you and who you are." And I think that kind of goes back to what Al was kind of, you know, speaking on, and just telling him to be himself. And so I just want to say that I'm thankful for Al. I really, really am. I'm thankful for Earl. I really am. For Jack, who's given me some opportunities. And a lot of times when I'm just talking to Jack, no matter what time of day or night, whatever it is, I can hear Al's laughing, because sometimes it's some late nights. But Jack is up. And Jack giving me the opportunities that he has here where I'm from, I can kind of, a lot of times, I can hear Earl speaking through him to me. And I'm just very appreciative of that. You know, I miss him. I love him. And I'm just overly thankful. You know, being, and I'll say this, I know they said be quick, but they know I'm never quick. I just want to say this real quick, is that, you know, when you leave here and you go somewhere else and you move far away, and sometimes you don't know if people are listening and who's supporting and this and that, and you don't know, but you know where you come from, you're really passionate about it. I go to Atlanta in a big city and big market and all this other kind of stuff and talk basketball, and it's great and it comes across so easy and this and that, but then I come here back home and it's like the most nervous, like, wrecking thing in the world, but it's because I'm home. Like, I grew up listening to Earl from when I was a little kid. And so to be able to go up and be on his shows with Al, who I'm thankful that has me on, with Jack, one of his best friends, it's like, it's so overwhelming, I can't even really put it into words. But I just want to say thank you all so much for coming out, and thank you to Earl as well.
Al, there aren't a lot of guarantees, but one is when someone says, "I just want to say that real quickly." Another 5 minutes coming, right?
And at least 5 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, but no, Deshaun is right, though. Jack, I think you're a vampire. I don't think you sleep, man. I'll get a call from Jack at like 5 a.m. like, "Oh, Jack, what's going on?
I'll be asleep this afternoon by about 3 o'clock. Thank you so much, Deshaun. Great.
Thank you, Deshaun.
Deshaun is also going to be with Al and me tomorrow night on Press Pass on Fox 47, where we do this again and pay special tribute to the Duke of Earl. We have one other person here who needs to be recognized this way, and he can't be here. Magic can come in, but Ernest Harden Jr. cannot, because he is involved in shooting a movie for Netflix, and he's in a play. And here to tell us about that and to read his message is Lynn Laster, sitting right over at this table, Al. And she's going to go ahead and convey the message from Ernest, better known as Ern Nitty, to a lot of people who watch Jeffersons.
Okay, let's give it a try. I am so very sorry to miss this celebration of life of Earl Robinson, my mentor and friend. I live in Los Angeles and am currently performing in a play, Velvet Jesus, a movie unicorn for Netflix, but I know in my heart that Earl is in a better place. I majored in theater at MSU and minored in television and radio. Back then, there weren't many blacks in the department. As a young student of color, I didn't have many role models to look up to, but Earl was one who reached out to me. He soon became a big brother and mentor. He taught me so much about the craft and the business and helped me get a nightly radio show on campus station WMSN to hone my skills. The show consisted of occasional interviews and the latest jazz and soul. The show became popular, especially with black students on campus. They didn't have many outlets where they could hear good jazz and soul on a consistent basis. Every night, they would hear me say, "We're wheeling and dealing, Earn Nitty from the Detroit city. Talking stuff because he's rough and can't get enough. Can't help but do it because he's used to it. Doing the do, bringing the soulful sounds to you on WMSN and the radio. Earl helped me set up that show. He taught me the workings of a radio station as well as how to be comfortable as an on-air personality. That skill was invaluable throughout my acting career. Earl even touched the next generation of my family. The day my son, Ernest Harden III, enrolled at MSU, I brought him to meet Earl. Earl schooled him right away with a lesson he never forgot. "Welcome to MSU, young man. Now the first thing you need to learn before you learn anything else is to hate Michigan." And graduated from Michigan. "I love you, Earl. You will always be missed. Ernest Harden Jr. Earn it."
I'm good for now.
That's awesome, Jack. I'm going to start opening my show every day like that. Wheeling and dealing. I like that. I like that.
Our ratings will go up, I'll tell you that. Al, if you want to take over now, and we're going to talk with some MSU legends.
Yeah,
next
definitely.
Part of the show.
Definitely. We have next on the schedule the great Jim Bibbs, who's sitting right there.
I just wanted to say one thing about this, because Earl used to work out at Jennison Fieldhouse almost every night, and Jim would let him in, and if Jim hadn't been there, Earl would have weighed 20 pounds more.
And Earl used to run Winsmith with Judy Brown sometimes, so that in itself is made him famous. But I did one, Earl the Pearl. I used to call Earl the Pearl after Earl Monroe, the old great guard from New York Knicks, who's my favorite guard until Magic came along. But seriously, Earl was one of the finest young men that I've been involved with. And I can't give you any real stories like Titan them, because I'm about 1,000 years older than Earl. So we didn't run together. But I will say this first. Tiny is the best quarterback ever come out of Flint. Because I used to drive up there from Detroit to see him, Duckett and Bolden and all those other guys, all the way up from Don Coleman. And those are guys I call Flintstone before they had Flintstone. Clarence Peake and all those, they were some great athletes. But a couple of things I can say, Earl was best conditioned athletes that I know. He would jog all the time, he'd pick up weights and stuff. They used to have a contest here, I call it the Strongman Contest. I can't think of the name, Jack might think of it. And Earl beat Herb Washington, Marshall Dill, and many others in a weightlifting contest. Earl beat both of them. And the only story I got to really tell about Earl, he used to date, and I can say this because this is long before he's married, so he used to date a young lady on the track team, and her ex-boyfriend saw her with Earl one day and told her, I saw you running around with that little guy. I stopped to go over there and whoop him. And she said, no, you start to go over there and get whooped. She said, because she said, don't get mixed up with little and short. So I guarantee you would have got beat down if you could have over there. And so I just want to say, I became close to Earl because, one, he came up here about the same time Herb Washington came up, and we came very close to that to start out with. But because Earl and myself both love jazz and sports. And so, therefore, we hit it off out of that. If Earl wanted to get in Jenison and I had a key, he could get in.
Love it. The great Jim Bibbs, everyone.
You know, Al, there's no truth to the rumor that the first time Jim saw Earl, he looked at him and he said, he wouldn't be much of a hurdler, but he might be a hurdle.
And the short jokes are going to continue, I think, right, Jack? All right, next, Judy Brown Clark.
Now, why did you put me after Coach Bibbs? That was really wrong. And when Coach Bibbs stopped letting him in, and I was head coach, I was letting him in. So just letting you know, he was part of our Spartan Nation within track and field. One of the things I think that is, like, so incredibly important to remember is being the first is not easy. Being the first at anything. If you want to know what it means to be the first, go walk through a field of weeds, and you're the first. Now, everybody behind you doesn't have to pave that way, but you, it's not easy. And I think there's two things that are equalizers in the world. That's music and sport. Music and sport. It doesn't matter what your language is, your culture, where you are. When you turn on music or sport, you have an audience. You have a commonality. And I think one of the things that Earl did is he was doing diversity and inclusion through his music and sport. He didn't just talk about the athlete. He didn't talk about the competition. He did. But he humanized who the athletes were, and he humanized who the performers were. You admired their talent, but you also realized that there was a person there with frailties, navigating life, who always put everything that they were trying to deal with aside to make sure that they could perform, whether it was through music or whether it was through sport. And he did it with a very quiet leadership, because the things he said, without his style, without his quiet leadership presence, may not have been tolerated. So he learned a way to say things that were very controversial, calling things to attention in a way in which he had a broad audience who never would have known the person beyond their instrument or their jersey. That's a talent. That's a talent. And he is mentoring, even in his legacy, as you heard his mentees stand up and talk about your legacy. Because at the end of our life, at the end of the day, the main thing we want to know is that we made a difference. And so what we're hearing here is that Earl did. So I say this to my friend, as I saw him out there with little tiny tights. Always trying to challenge me to run. I said, you know, I don't know if you can handle being beat by a girl. So don't ask me to run again. I will miss you, my friend.
Wow.
Is that smooth or what?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say, those of you may remember Judy as Olympic silver medalist in the 400 hurdles. You may also remember her on the cover of Sports Illustrated as Athletes Who Care. They did that montage of the athletes who always gave back. That's what we remember most about Judy Brown Clark.
All right, next, Jack, we have Mike Robinson.
Looking around.
The one thing I want to say about Earl, one thing I remember about Earl is his versatility in our friendship. The things that I just like was said in the room here is that he's a loving, compassionate person. And as I remember about him is that he had always had time to listen at my corny jokes. He's always had time to do that. So another thing that I remember about Earl is that he was always in superb shape. And superb shape. And I could not lose him on the basketball court. He was always around the pick, on the other side of the pick, always on the other side of that screen, waiting for me. And so when I went around that screen, I say, Earl, you guarding me with your hands. And he would just give you that look and give you that giggle. What's that? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Give you that giggle. And that look like Dracula gives you. And just before he bites you. And so I'm sitting back here and I'm thinking about Earl, and he had made a huge impact on my life. Like Judy Brown said, through music. My transition to Michigan State after coming here was through music. And coming from Detroit, I used to listen to a lot of Motown. And when I came up here, he would play all the different musics that I couldn't stand. I didn't understand at all, but he did play it. And so he raised my music IQ. I remember one evening I was in the room and some of my friends would say, "Oh wow, Earl got some great music on." So he would have a John Coltrane, a Miles Davis, and I'm listening and they say, "Do you hear that, Mike?" And I'm being from Detroit, and I'm trying not to seem so novice at it. I say, "Yeah, man." Yeah, man, that's deep. That's deep. I'm digging it. I said, okay, wow, Earl, he has all the music, so he must know the dance moves. So I said, Earl, can you tell me the latest dance moves? And he says, "Hey, Mike Robb, do you know the Funky Chicken?" I seen it, but I'm like, I said to myself, how in the world are you going to be Motown cool doing a funky chicken? And so I said, okay, well, that's the things that I remember about Earl. He always listened to my corny jokes, and he was such a loving man. He always had time and very impressive. And so, anyway, Tiny, you can show me the funky chicken. Okay. All right. So much love and peace. Thank you.
Awesome. And you know, Jack, great impression from Mike there. We all know that Earl laugh, right? That's awesome stuff.
Hey, I just want to say that Mike was right about the conditioning. We always wanted Earl with us, so at least one of us would look decent. And he's the only guy I knew who could play 10 straight pickup basketball games. and foul out of every one of them.
Awesome. All right, next from Michigan State Athletics, we have Matt Larson. Is Matt here?
Yeah, I'm working my way back here to
time.
Matt.
Take your time.
Two more quick things about Mike. I mean this. Mike Robinson is the best Michigan State basketball player whose name and number is not in the rafters. Right? We're working on that. Okay. And he's going to have another honor coming up, but want to welcome Matt Larson and, of course, Athletic Communications and Earl, very tight over the years, and they had a great relationship. And Matt speaking on behalf of the department.
Thank you, Jack. It's amazing, this turnout. As I'm listening to all these stories, I realize we all have our Earl stories, but they're really probably all the same. Just some of the details are different, because Earl had a way of helping people out without maybe even realizing that he was doing something for you. It's a gift, you know, that he could always make you feel like you were the special person in the room. I think back to when I first came to Michigan State. In fact, I've probably known Earl less time than most of you here in this room. But I came to Michigan State 21 years ago and started working in the sports information office. And second year in the job, I started doing communications for the basketball team. And that's really where every day you're talking to Earl. And Earl would always be at practice. Earl was always welcome at practice. He had a way of, God, he just cared about people, right? You know, so he wasn't afraid to ask the tough questions, but he did it in a way that the people he covered respected him, knew that they were more than just an athlete. They were more than just a number. They were people. And that's special. That's a gift. That's what makes those that are great in any field special. But my friendship at a young age for me grew with Earl. And he not only did he respect me for being young in my profession, he made me feel like I was his friend, you know. And so over the years, he would ask me to come on and guest host his radio show. And it was great to hear from a couple of the listeners. I quickly learned that I wanted to fill that show with guests, because I did not want to take calls from the callers, because you guys were way too informed on way too many topics, you know? And I wasn't prepared for that. You know, some other shows are easier to host. Not looking at you, Jack. You can kind of just fake your way through it. But Earl's callers, they came to know that Earl was going to be prepared. No event was too big. No event was too small. You know, and if he needed to go up to Flint and watch some high school basketball with Coach Izzo, he was always game to hop in a car and go for a ride. You know, no sport was too mainstream. No sport was too much of a niche. Earl knew it all. And that's a tribute to him. He wasn't going to get fired. He wasn't going to lose his job. He just had a passion for what he did. And he felt the relationship. He felt an obligation to his listeners. You know, he didn't want to chase for 1 second. In closing, there's no secret that the last couple of years in Michigan State, there have been some ups and downs. And the press room has not been the same without Earl in it. He was always a friendly face who, like I said, we knew that he would ask the tough question if it needed to be asked, but he would do it in a way that he understood people. But this past spring, Coach Izzo and I were walking down the hallway, heading to the Final Four press conference. And in the Breslin Center, between the basketball office and kind of the main area, there's a long row of televisions. And we happened to walk by it, and I don't know what it was. But there must have been an old game or some old show. And we looked, and we saw Earl. You know, Earl was on that video. And we took a second to just kind of think, man, Earl would have loved this team. Earl would have loved this Final Four. So even though, you know, he's not with us anymore, there's no doubt that, you know, for as long as I'm here, for as long as so many of, you know, Jack and Al and everyone else that comes to cover us, Fred, you know, Earl will always have a place at Michigan State, and his memory will live on.
Thank you, Matt. Very well said. Very well said. And
thank you very much, Matt. We really appreciate it. And we're talking about Final Fours. Al, I guess it's time.
It is time.
We got to go back 40 years.
Yeah.
You got to flash back to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we do.
There was a team that was 33-0, and then they were 33-1.
So next on the program, a little guy by the name of Irvin Magic Johnson.
This is one of the best surprises I've ever had, by the way, today. But I got to tell you that I was supposed to do an introduction saying the greatest player in Everett history and one of the greatest in the annals of college basketball, Dale Beard.
Thank you, Jack. First of all, God is so good. And so what a blessing it is. First of all, we should really thank Jack and WKR for... It's not too often that you get recognized for your greatness. So we're recognizing a man who not only was great at his craft, but also was a great person, great father, great husband, great person. And for you, Jack, and for WKR to recognize that, especially growing up as a black man, we sometimes get overlooked for our greatness. So we should clap for that because this is outstanding. I'm so blessed because coming up in Lansing, Michigan, you look for idols and you look for people who can mentor you. And so I was so blessed to see Coach Bibbs come to Michigan State and break through. And Coach, you helped a lot of people, so thank you. Mike, you didn't understand that I love watching you play and put it in that one hand, bruh. Because if it wasn't for you, you helped me fall in love with Michigan State. And then it was this short dude. And running around with hot pants on the track of Michigan State. So we were hooping, and this little dude was just running. And so when we got done playing basketball, he came up to me and introduced himself, and I said, wow, this is the guy I've been listening to on the radio. And then thank God for Earl, because we never had a soul station. And from 2 to 5, we finally got soul music in Lansing, Michigan. And then we became friends. And when I got to Michigan State, he gave me my first concert tickets. Man, I remember they were, the Commodores were coming to Jennison Fieldhouse and having the Miss Brick House contest. And that's when Cookie thought I was all of something, because Earl gave me them great tickets. And I owe him a lot, because Cookie fell in love with me that night. Because she couldn't have Lionel Richie, so she settled on me, right? Then everybody knows my love for softball. We were putting a softball team together. And this dude over here, Kenny and I, putting the team together. And we needed a pitcher. And, you know, Earl could pitch, you know. So Kenny and I, Kenny said, man, Earl can pitch. I said, okay. So let's go talk to Earl. So Kenny, we recruited Earl. And our first run was pretty good, you know. We had a great run. Then we went from that level to a higher level the next year. So now we needed a manager, so we called Tiny up. So Tiny became the manager, and we toured the whole state of Michigan. We went everywhere. And then we had to have a tough conversation with Earl, because we met a guy named Johnny Jones, who was a better pitcher than Earl. So we said, who's going to have that conversation? Kenny and I were at his house. Who's going to tell Earl he's not going to start no more? So Kenny and I looked and we said, we're going to put it on Tiny to tell his boy that he cannot start any longer. So this is one of the stories I got to tell. Because now we're traveling. I mean, we're really close. I was coming home every summer. And so we're having practice. Tiny is a drill sergeant. Man, I thought Pat Riley was something. I thought Judd was something. But this dude is tough. So we're at one of the practice. We're going to have a big game the next day. The Hearns-Sugar Ray fight was the next day. So I'm leaving going to the fight. So after practice, everybody's telling me how Tommy Hearns is going to knock Sugar Ray out. The whole team. So I lined the whole team up. How much you got? How much you want to bet? So I went down the line. So everybody said 200, 100. So I'm writing it down. 300. Everybody was taking Tommy Hearns. I'm taking Sugar Ray. Only one. So, of course, you know what happens. Sugar Ray beat him in the last round, knocked him out. I get back home. We got practice. I'm trying to collect my money now. So Tiny gave me his. Cleavan gave me his. JD reluctantly gave me his. On and on and on. Now it comes to Earl. And Mike, you got that. You know, he got that look. And he's trying to figure out to tell me he don't have the money. So he thought I was going to say, you good. But I didn't say you good. I want my money. So, Cleavan, you remember this? He went into his pocket and he had that old bug. Remember he was driving around, that VW. He goes to give me the keys to the car as his payment. I said, it's not even worth the $200-$300 that you owe me. I'm not taking your car. So we had a great laugh about that. Then the last thing, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Jack, is we spent so many Friday nights and Saturday nights at his house. Earl swore that he was the best Big Whiz player on the face of the earth. So him and Tiny gonna get together. So the first time I played against them, I gotta give them credit. They did smash myself and my partner. But then I went and got my brother Larry. And boy, once I got Larry, it was over for Earl and Tiny. But I would say this, is that first coming up through Lansing, Michigan, having a chance for this young man to cover my games and to sidebar with me, work on not only my game. Earl used to train me. People don't know this. I used to come home. I used to run with Earl. I tried to keep up with him. Couldn't do it. No, this is a true story. I would go maybe 2-3 miles. Earl would go like 10 miles. Earl was outstanding. But it helped me to get better too. And so my first year I won the MVP, it was because he helped me. We were on that track, I tell you, over and over and over again. So I got to give him some credit. So I also want to give him credit for helping me become a better man and a better person. Kenny, you did the same thing. Cleavan, Tiny, thank you. Everybody came together to do that. So I owe Earl so much. Every time I came home, man, you got to do my show. No problem. Let's go do the show. Knock it out. And so it hurt all of us because when he passed away, a piece of all of us went with him. And this city will never be the same without Earl Robinson, and Michigan State won't ever be the same without Earl Robinson as well. So, brother, I know you up there now. got the mic, you told God you're going to take over all the radio, TV stuff, because, you know, Earl will take over, you know. But that's the true blessing. And so, Jack, again, thank you, because you don't even realize all how much this man meant. And it's a lot of people who are not here that he touched in this city, in other cities as well. And God is so good to have put him in all of our lives, right? All of our lives. So if you don't mind, because I got to go. I have a family reunion going on. But I do want to say a prayer right quick. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to live to see another day. Thank you for this truly great event to honor one of your own, an angel who you sent down here to bless all of us, to show us what a professional is all about. A kind, big-hearted man who touched us in so many different ways. He is a giant in all our lives. Continue to bless his kids, his grandchildren, his wife in a special way. Wrap your arms around them, but continue his legacy. And that's what we're doing today. Thank you for Jack and WKR for this special tribute that they're going to have a plaque in Earl Robinson's name. Thank you for allowing us all to participate today in honoring our friend Earl. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I just want to say two really, really quick things. One about Irv. They talk about MVP awards. MVP in this case isn't just most valuable player. For the city of Lansing, it's most valuable person. Okay? And it is great to know the rest of the story, because sometimes you don't know everything. And when Earl was pitching for you, and then he wasn't pitching for you. And I said, Earl, what is the deal? Have you been replaced? And you know what he said? He said, I got an injury. Now, I don't think he meant his injured pride, but I said to him, Earl, I know your injury. I can see the pain. He said, you can? I said, yeah, you got a neck injury, whiplash, with all those balls going over the fence when you pitched them. Irvin Johnson.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Magic. Much appreciated. Wow. Man, I kind of feel bad for everybody who comes after Magic now, right, Jack? My goodness.
Yeah,
awesome
absolutely.
Stuff.
Hey, I just want to say appreciate everybody hanging in there. We got some great tributes coming up. But we've been doing this for a little bit now. I think it's time for a little halftime entertainment, right? We have with us a special friend of Earl's. And he is a guy who is the number one bagpiper in the state of Michigan. Maybe you've seen him at George Perlis Special Olympics golf outing. In the back of the room, we're going to hear from Terry Carroll. Terry? All right, Tom Izzo could not be here today because he is very busy recruiting and getting the next generation of Spartans. Irvin represented national championship number one. Tom Izzo with national championship number two. And we have a special video. I want to thank Rob Bennett and Scott Pohl for helping us here. Scott Moore for coming in and giving us all this technical expertise. And this was something that we shot Wednesday afternoon, Tom Izzo's office at Breslin Center. So if you can play that, Scott, that'd be great.
Well, it's a privilege to talk about one of the first people I ever met when I came to Michigan State, and that, of course, is Earl Robinson. It was me, Charlie Wilson, and Earl that used to have those epic noon basketball one-on-one contests upstairs of Jenison that were so much fun. Most of them I won, but competition wasn't great that I was playing against. But, you know, My recollection and my memory of Earl was being everywhere, every day, all the time, you know. He'd want to be at practices. I learned early he was one of the guys that Judd had respect for, and as we all know, Judd didn't respect hardly anybody. So that was my first inclination that Earl Robinson was a not a good guy, but a great guy. And he would be there for every press conference. He would be there for every summer league game. He'd be there when Magic came back. He'd be there to tell me about the softball and all the things that happened. And I got to admit, in his own way, he kind of educated me to Michigan State, the basketball and sports here in general, because he was a sports nut. He was a nut for the high school sports. I'd go to a game over at Lansing Eastern, Earl would be there. You go to a game at Okemos, Earl would be there. I think that's all Earl did was watch games. And for that, I had not only respect for, but appreciation. And in a small way, he was a pretty good evaluator, you know. He would follow our recruiting. He would know. And that was before videos were out on everything. So he had to do his research either by phone or friends that he knew. But he would always go to games even in Detroit or Flint or Saginaw. I mean, whenever there was an athletic event, Earl Robinson was involved. And then as I got the head job, you know, I think he was a guy for me personally that I could always rely on. I knew he wasn't going to ask the bad questions. I knew he was going to ask educated questions. I knew once in a while he'd give me that, well, do you think he should be playing him? And that meant he didn't think I should be playing him. But we always talked about it. He spent a lot of time in these offices, both downstairs and up here, because he was a guy that, you know, a lot of guys want to talk that they know what's going on. He did the work. So when he was talking in an educated way. He was never tall enough to be a basketball player. I was never athletic enough to be a basketball player, but his heart was big enough to be a basketball player. So I had the Mutt and Jeff combination of him and Charlie, and we must have played a lot of one-on-one. Once in a while, we'd sucker somebody into a two-on-two matchup over the years. And then, you know, Charlie got a little too old, Earl got a little too old, and I just kind of maintained the competitive nature and the ability to still play. But in closing, I just want to say that I miss Earl, and I appreciated everything he gave to this place, and maybe more personally that he gave to me. I love Earl Robinson. I love what he stood for, and I think he'll be greatly missed. And I appreciate you guys making sure we don't forget who he was.
Tom Izzo.
I want to thank Tom Izzo for taking time out of his busy schedule. Those were great words, and he said Earl never did beat him in that shooting game, so. Our next guest we have from the Flint Journal, going way back, another Flintstone, one of the original Flintstones, back from the Fred and Barney days. Somebody here earlier said to me, the gentleman with the dark shirt on over there, was he in the media? And I said, yeah, the Dean Howe. And I knew that because they were both born in 1922. So, Al, if you'd like to give the microphone to Dean Howe, and we can have him give a couple of thoughts. Thanks, Dean.
Mike Robb, I like your jump shot. I worked at the Flint Journal for 41 years. In the fall of 1977, the editor called me into the office. He said, listen, we've got something we want to cover. We've got a Booth newspaper network, 8 papers in Michigan. We'd like you to cover Michigan State. There's this kid named Magic Johnson coming in. Would you like to do it? I thought about it for 1 second. So I covered all of Magic's games in college up through Scott Skiles, so all his games. That's where I met Earl along the way. I mean, here was a guy you just gravitated to. You loved to be around. You know, he made you feel good. There were some funny moments, too. Now, WKR couldn't afford to send Earl to some Big Ten tournaments, all right? Maybe you got a low budget there. I don't know. But Earl would ask the writers, me in particular, if he could stay with us at a hotel in Chicago. So I said, sure, you can stay with me, Earl. And I called the Sheraton Hotel. Can you get twin beds for me there? Well, I got to the hotel. We don't have any more twin beds. We got a king size, though. I said, Earl, you sleeping way over on that side of the bed. But he was just a wonderful guy. When I covered the Bad Boy Pistons, he'd always call me about, do Isaiah and Magic really like each other, you know, stuff like that. And just a great guy to be around. He had an argument with Jim Spadafore, a writer from the Detroit News, who was a short guy. They used to argue all the time who was taller. Earl would say, I'm a quarter inch taller than you. And they challenged each other to one-on-one at a basketball court. I don't know if that ever came to be. But he was just, as I was saying, the people have said here today, they've saw so much about him. He's just a great guy to be around. You gravitated to him. I just love being around him. He gave a lot to this community, and he'll never be forgotten.
Fantastic. You know, Al, we talk about learning the other part of the story here today, and now I know this story. So Earl gets back from the Big Ten tournament, and I knew that he was staying with Dean, and I said, so how was it? How was staying with Hal? He says, good, but his feet sure were cold.
Oh, that's not a pretty sight, Jack. That's not a pretty sight. Yeah. I probably would have been sleeping on the floor, so that you guys are good for that. That's
all right. Very few people in mid-Michigan love boxing, the sweet science, more than Earl Robinson. And he'd always have the fights. He'd have everybody over at his house and talking about it. And he'd really break it down. And then he became a judge. And then he was on the board for the state. And we want to welcome in Mr. Boxing in Lansing, Bob Every. Bob.
Thank you, Jack, very much for having me here. Earl will be sorely missed, that's for sure. In my boxing days, I was a young kid going to college here at Lansing Community College before I went to that greatest university in the country, Michigan State University. And I was doing a radio interview, and the guys that were interviewing me were Jim Adams and Earl Robinson. It's the first radio interview I've ever done in my life. Earl did love to talk boxing, and I'm quite surprised that in all the conversations we've had here today, nobody has mentioned how much Earl Robinson was an authority on popcorn. This guy, I'm telling you right now, this guy loved popcorn more than anybody I've ever known in my life. And we used to run these big shows talking about Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. We used to pirate the filter and run them down at the boxing gym on a couple big TVs. And the condition the Earl would come down would be if we had popcorn. But one thing, as I grow older, is constant. And that's the older I get, the more friends I see pass on to the other world. And it's hurtful because the relationships that you create with people like Earl Robinson is really, really special. Two people in my life that I really enjoyed talking boxing with, and they're both great, superstar human beings, the great Brian Ferguson and Earl Robinson. And I'll miss those guys until I die, but I'll tell you what, I will never, ever forget them.
Thank you very much, Bob Every. And when you talk about popcorn, when they switched from Jennison Fieldhouse to Breslin Center, Earl Robinson and I were the popcorn committee, and had to test 8 different kinds of popcorn to find out which one was suitable for Earl. We also, you saw the awards that are being given out. You have these beautiful programs. Thank you very much, Laverne. Tremendous job, Laverne Wilson, with these programs. While we're doing these interviews, we're going to send these bowls down. And if you would like to contribute to awards in Earl's name, please feel free to put a buck or 5 or whatever you might have. This is from my sister who met Earl one time and fell in love with him. And there's the first 20. So these are going to be working the room. And if you care to make a donation, please feel free. All right. Larry Lage, Michigan Associated Press sports editor, a guy who got to know Earl and saw him in so many different functions. And now he's going to share a few words about the great Earl Robinson.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you for those of you that organized this. And thank you to the interpreter who's giving Earl's son, DeMarco, access to all the great things that all of you have to say. So thank you. So I met Earl in 1991 when I was 18 and a freshman at Michigan State. And along with Jack Ebeling, we used to go watch basketball games in Flint, his beloved Flint, quite a bit. And I'll never forget one night we went and watched Kelvin Torbert play against Anthony Roberson. And then we went to the Halo Burger in downtown Flint. And Jack ordered a double bacon cheeseburger, a large fry, a Boston cooler, and a Diet Coke. And Earl chimes in, good thing you're saving on those couple hundred calories, Jack, with a Diet Coke. So there have been a lot of jokes at Earl's expense, so I just had to throw one back at Jack there. And while we're on that topic, he actually inspired me today with my lunch choice. I had a chicken salad for Earl, and I've been trying to work out more because when we would go on the road and I was taking a power nap and Jack was resting his eyes, Earl would do push-ups and sit-ups in the hotel room, which was kind of inspiring in that way. Earl was also a mentor of mine when I was coming up and trying to make it in this business. He would let me guest host his show when he had a rare day off, and I will always be appreciative of that. And just basically, I'll miss his laugh. I wish I could duplicate it. I'll miss his smile. Although, DeMarco, you have your father's smile. So keep smiling, because I can see your dad when you do that. So thank you, everybody, for coming, and travel home safely.
Thank you, Lair. Appreciate that. Is Jeremy Sampson in the house?
Right here. Right here.
Jeremy, yeah. Okay. Up next, Al. Jeremy Sampson. And when you talk about, is Jeremy here? Okay.
Right here. I got him, Jack.
Oh, good. I couldn't see him.
Back
sit
here.
Down. Yeah, stand up. There you go.
He's here.
So we've had a fantasy football league that has been legendary, the Mid-Michigan Media Football League. And Jeremy is speaking not only as a close friend of Earl's, but also as a strong representative and commissioner of that league. Jeremy?
Thank you very much, Jack. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Jack, and the family for asking me to speak for a couple of minutes today. Like so many people have said earlier, Earl was a mentor of mine. I was a student at Michigan State in the mid-90s and wanted to soak up as much knowledge as I can and listen to Earl every day on the radio. And when I had a chance to meet him and just ask him some questions about the business and how I could be a better broadcaster, he was unique because he shared anything and everything that he could with me. There were some people in the business who looked at young people coming up as competition and didn't want to share their knowledge, didn't want to share what they knew about the business, but Earl was completely the opposite, and he was a mentor of mine, and after about a 20-year career in the business, certainly appreciate everything that he did for me. The Fantasy Football League is a lot of fun. There are a couple of members here today. It started about 25 years ago and really was just about having some fun with the guys and really talking trash. And that was something that honestly Earl wasn't great at. As you guys know, he's so humble that he wasn't great at that. But I'm glad that Bob brought up the popcorn, because if he didn't, I was going to. I'll just share one story with you. Earl, when he was on his radio show, started to get into his health tips of the week. And you guys remember this a little bit, right? That the health tips of the week were very important to Earl. As we all know, he was very much into exercise. And as some people have brought up before, he would ask for some assistance in going to some events. And so I know it was about this time of year, we were driving to Chicago for the Big Ten football media days. And Earl said, hey, Jeremy, and I was going with Dave at the time, hey, do you mind if I catch a ride with you? Absolutely, Earl, no problem. We'd love to have you. So we're sitting in the front seat. Earl's sitting in the back seat. We get on the highway, and all of a sudden I hear this loud crunching noise from the back seat.
and I turn around, and on one side of him, he has a bag of popcorn, and on the other side of him, he has a bag of chips. Now, this was before cell phones, because if we would have had cell phones, I would have turned around and taken a picture and posted on Twitter so all of his listeners could see what he was doing with his health tips as we were driving, eating his popcorn and his potato chips. Earl was awesome. Earl was always a friend, always there, who was there with a smile, a laugh, a pat on the back if you needed it, a hug if you needed it. He was a friend. He was a colleague and somebody that I will dearly, dearly miss. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Al, if you can stay back there, because we got one more person in the back there that is going to give us a few words. And Fred Heumann, he is a sports director at WLNS Channel 6. And he's going to say a few words about Earl. He's going to talk for maybe 2 minutes, and that'll be a little longer than his usual sportscast.
When have I ever stopped at 2 minutes? Is Coach Bibbs still here? Coach Bibbs? I'd like to know, are you still there at night to open Jenison for me to work out? Just wondering. It's nice to see legends like Coach Bibbs and Judy Brown-Clark and Mike Robinson, and the magic of Urban is that he's not too big enough to be here. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I told him, Amicia, that how much you must have appreciated this and how much Earl did. I'm not going to add a whole lot because we've had a lot of speakers, but just to reflect on what everyone said, is just that smile. And never mind being the first African-American on the air, he was really one of the first to do talk radio. And talk radio has evolved so much where everybody's doing it now, and it's become, let's see who we can criticize next. Let's see who can be a Monday morning quarterback. People with talk shows that never go to any events that just pop off about coaches and strategy, and they don't have to show their name or face. Been a pet peeve of mine for years. Toward nobody in particular, but I will say this. Earl Robinson didn't do it that way. He didn't start talk radio to be smartass radio. He didn't start talk radio to be, let's second guess everybody. Earl let his listeners talk. He was positive, and it wasn't about Earl. And that's become a lost art in this business. And the other thing is Earl showed his face. Everywhere I went, there was Earl. Now, I know he liked college basketball and football, so he did that by choice, and he'd go to summer basketball practices for Izzo and all of that. I'd go to a Lansing Lugnuts game on a Tuesday night to cover it for Channel 6, and there's Earl. And I'm saying, what in the hell are you doing here? And he'd give me that little giggle that, you know, everyone talked about. But that was Earl. If he was going to talk about it, To use his terminology, his ass better be there to see it. And we need more, not fewer, like Earl. Never mind that he was black. We need more like Earl. And his legacy lives forever. And Amici, you ought to be proud of what he is and what he was. And these people that have come out to salute him today, I miss him too. God bless.
Thanks, Fred. And Earl liked to bunt, too, so that's good. We have a couple of other people here that have been dying to say a few words, and I think we're going to try to squeeze them into the program. I apologize. We're trying to keep this as tight as we can. But Ron DeLeon came over here, and he brought his family, and he's running around today putting up posters for the fight card, and I know how much Earl would want to promote that fight card. So here's Ron DeLeon for a couple minutes.
Thanks, guys. I'll make it brief. 2 minutes. First of all, I'd like to say when Mr. Boxing, Bob Every, stopped promoting events in the area, I took over that promoting professional boxing and mixed martial arts in 2008. But I've been doing it for 21 years, and I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that the first person that approached me, you know, you normally you start a business, you go out and reach out for the media, anything you can do to help out your process. Earl approached me. And he says, Ron, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I have for you. He says, keep in mind, being a minority business owner, he says, all your T's got to be crossed. I mean, just the business part, as far as handling your business first, you're going to be scrutinized more than anybody else. And I've always took that to heart. And he even became my ring announcer at my upcoming at my shows, and I did shows and all that. So I was always very proud of him for helping me out, whatever you need. Not to name drop, but a good friend of mine, Joel Ferguson, once told me, friends don't keep score. They do what they can do to help you. They want nothing in return but to see you succeed. And that was, speaking of the devil, hey, Joel, I swear I didn't know he was here. And that was Earl. He went out of his way to make sure you did, you had everything you needed to be successful. So I was always very, very luckily that I had him in my life for that. Secondly, the fact that me and Earl were the only two in Lansing that could actually see eye to eye. It's my short joke. So that helped out tremendously, too. It's the only guy I didn't have to look up to. But like I said, like Joel Ferguson had said, you know, friends don't keep score. They do what they can do to help out. And Earl was that guy, always on his way. Jack, the day Earl passed, you had brought something up on your show. And really what hit home to me, I'll end with this. Earl made you feel, after the interview, I had an upcoming event coming up, that your event was the place to be. You know, he hyped you up and he inspired you so much that, hell, when I got done with this interview, I couldn't wait to see my show because he'd hyped us like, damn, I hope it's that good, Earl. You know, because I felt so, but that's what he did. And in just inspiring people like that, he definitely was unmatched, and he is deeply missed. So I appreciate all the love and support that him and the rest of the community gave me because of that. But he's very much missed. So thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. And we have one other distinguished guest, and this got a WKAR flavor to it, Al. Earl might not have gotten started in this business, or certainly would not have had the career he's had without the one guy he always told me was his mentor. And the guy, went now, when he would always give back to Sean, pay it forward, you got to do it next. Earl gave it to you, and the guy that gave it to him was Dr. Larry Redd. Larry?
Thank you. Earl, wherever your spirit is, I want you to know that I'm so proud. You've brought so many wonderful people here today. And it's like planting a seed and now coming back to see this wonderful forest that you've grown, taken care of, watered, manicured, and it's beautiful. It also represents the diversity of the roots that brought you here. In the late 60s, I became a new student in the graduate program at Michigan State. There were also three Jewish classmates that wanted to do something in research to find out if the black community was being served. And they wanted to put me on the team. I said, no, thank you. I had a distrust after my Grand Rapids experience, and they insisted that they wanted me to work with them, and they wouldn't give up. So Barry Karp, Steve Kane, and Rich Newberg pestered me so much until I joined their research team about radio serving the West Side black community in Lansing. So we finished the research, and then they weren't satisfied. They wanted to start a program at WKAR, and they went to Steve Mouche. And Steve Mouche tricked me. He invited me over to his garage one afternoon and had lemonade and talked to me. And I outlined for him what I thought would be a good radio program. And I thought that was the end of it. Except the Jewish guys and Steve Mouché had gotten together and they wanted to offer me the job. They got together with Dr. Bob Green at Michigan State, who's in urban affairs, and they even offered me money to do it. I wanted to go back to Grand Rapids to become an assistant principal. But we followed through and put the radio program together. I'm getting to Steve Mouché, by the way, first. Because if it had not been for Steve Mouché taking excellent notes, I doubt whether the program would have ever developed. So Steve Mouché had me to develop the program, which was called the Taking Care of Business Show. And he then brought me a young fellow by the name of Earl Robinson. And he wanted to put Earl on the student staff of reporters that were working at WKAR. And I did. And Earl was just the hardest worker. He was patient. He just started to grow. He had nerve. But at the same time, he was genteel. I mean, he was just even keel. Nothing discouraged him. He read. He studied. And then, unknown to me, I didn't know about the sports background interest that he had. He was going over to Jenison and working out and had relationships with all the people over there. And after a couple of years, I decided I would move on. Well, Earl didn't get to fill those shoes at that particular time. There was another gentleman that came in from Chicago that beat him out. But Earl still did not give up. He still worked. And then he called me one day and he said, "Hey, I got this interview with Richard Pryor. You want to listen to it?" And that just did something to Earl's spirit. I mean, Richard Pryor fell in love with Earl, too. I mean, it was just a gorgeous interview. And then Earl did something that I had never been able to do. He got an interview with the Mighty Dells. And they just loved Earl. They told him all kind of personal things about how the Rolling Stones stopped touring in the United States because of racism. I mean, it was beautiful the way Earl could just bring you in. And he started to grow. And then we had a change of presidents at Michigan State. And he didn't like the TCB show. So he shut it down for all practical purposes. But Earl had a golden parachute. And that was sports. And he hooked up with Jim Adams. And the two of them became just so popular. And when Jim Adams couldn't go any longer, Earl took it over. And in the words of my son, "Dad, Earl took that baton and he ran the hell out of it." And all the time, I was so proud of him. Earl was one of a kind. But what made me the proudest of all, it was during this span of time somewhere that Earl came to me and he said, "I want to get my kids back and I want to raise them." And that was a time when males didn't have a chance in the courts to take custody of their kids. But Earl would not be denied. He went to court, and in the final analysis, Twyla and Hamisi were awarded to Earl. And And I watched him over the years raise his own kids. And he couldn't have done a better job. That's the Earl Robinson I remember. And I was fortunate to have him come onto that team. Just a beautiful person. And that's why I came from Texas, planned my trip to come from Texas, to be here, to share that with you. God bless you, Earl, wherever you are.
You know, Al, stay right where you are now, because we have another very, very, very special friend of Earl's. Worked out with him every day at lunch. I think burned more calories on the lunch hour than any threesome with Dr. Gary Stein. But Charlie Wilson is not just an important figure in terms of athletics, music, 496 West, but also as a guard for Michigan State's football team. If you remember Levi Jackson and an 88-yard run to beat Ohio State in 1974, going to be memorialized by ESPN as one of the 150 greatest moments in the history of college football this fall. And the guy who threw the key block on that play with less than 4 minutes to go, right guard Charlie Wilson.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know how I met Earl. I came to Michigan State in the early 70s as, in the words of Terry Furlow, a young snot-nosed freshman from Long Island, New York. But it seems like I've known Earl all my life. Earl and I worked out for at least 30 years together, playing basketball, running, and lifting weights. You know, he was my man. But I got to tell the story about Earl. I used to put together basketball teams, and we used to go to the correction facilities and play the inmates' varsity teams. No road games for the inmates. So we went down to Michigan Reformatory. It was me. We had Mike Robb. We had Kenny Turner. I think Tiny was on the team, a couple other guys. And Mike Robb was killing them. They didn't know who he was. I think he hit 50 that day, and I was coaching. Every time Mike got the ball, he would hit a three. But then when Kenny Turner got the ball, he was shooting. I think he hit about 10%. So I had to take Kenny out of the game, and I put Earl in. So every time Earl got the ball, he wouldn't shoot. He was wide open. So the inmates kept saying, it was packed in there. They kept saying, shoot it, Papa Smurf, shoot it. So finally Earl got the ball in the corner. He was wide open. Earl shot the ball, and they blocked it in the stands. And the inmates just went crazy. I thought we was going to have a riot up in there. So I never forgot that, but we did a lot of things together. Earl was my main man, and surely I'm going to miss Earl a whole lot. I think he was one of the first DJs we had at the Spartan parties that we used to have here in the Lansing area, but I'm really going to miss him. He's a great guy.
Papa Smurf, Jack, that's a new one.
I like it.
The black Papa Smurf, I like that.
All right, now, we are just about done, but we saved some of the best for last, and I mean this. When you think about Earl's family and the story that Dr. Red told about him wanting to get his kids back, and now we got grandkids who are going to be with us. But first, Keith Hickman, are you here? Keith? Do you want to cede your time, or do you have something vital you want to say?
Oh, I can cede.
Okay, that's good. I think a lot of people here would appreciate it. Would you stand up, please? Can we at least, how about a hand for Earl's brother, Keith Hickman? And of course, his cousin, Kendall Reeves, and... Kendall, we want to have you. You have a poem. I'm blind here. You have a poem, which is part of this program. And by the way, we really want to thank Laverne Wilson for all of her work. This is a beautiful program. This commemorative. And when you get a chance tonight, just browse through some of this. There are tributes to Earl throughout the program. The one at the end of back cover, I wrote that for all of you who could not have a chance to speak today. So that's the message to Earl up in heaven. Kendall, do you want to read this beautiful poem?
Okay. Well, first of all, Earl was my oldest first cousin.
Oldest.
And we were like 11 years apart, and he took he just always took an interest in younger people in our family. And, you know, just tried to push us forward any way that he could. He just loved us. I started coming to Michigan State when I was about 13. He would tell my mother, put her on the bus. I'd be there at the bus station to pick her up. And I spent many, many years up here. So, but he had an easygoing manner. And I called him easy like Sunday morning. So that's what the poem is called. There was an easiness about Earl, one that no one could quite understand. He was short in stature, tall in spirit. Oh, what a heck of a man. There was an easiness about Earl. He walked in integrity, confident. He was humble, never proud. An encourager, giving others a mountaintop experience, never boastful, never loud. In this easiness about Earl, although financially he was frugal, in other words, that dude was cheap, but he was a teacher, a friend. He gave sound advice. In that, his pockets ran deep. There was an ease with him in education. He was brilliant, amusing oneself with his wit, for he would set coal around you, ignite a fire, and never extinguish it. In his ease, he had much insight. At an early age, he had a plan. I'm going to Michigan State, be a DJ. He saw the big picture and worked his program. Earl was popular with WKAR, with his easygoing manner, and his quality of work was certainly above par. Although he chose a tenure at Michigan State, in any broadcasting arena, he would have gone far. Earl was easy, like Sunday morning, with his amusing chuckle and his grin, and everyone he was around felt comfortable, whether family, colleague, or friend. We will miss your kind-hearted compassion, your passionate commitment to a task. We'll miss all your knowledgeable wisdom, even the advice for which we didn't ask. May your soul rest, dear Earl. We know your spirit is soaring. We know this will be easy for you because you've always been easy, like Sunday morning. Thank you.
That is beautiful, Kendall, from the heart. You got to love it. All right, Al, when we talk about Earl's children and grandchildren, and we are blessed to have two of them with us today, of course, we have a Wolverine and a Spartan.
Of course.
Couldn't be any other way, right? All right, let's have Alicia Jackson join us, and her sister, Sierra, will be with us next. But, Alicia, let's have you go first. If you can both stand up here, and then you can just pass the mic when you're finished. Pass it to Sis.
The T-shirts, too, Jack. One go blue, one go state.
Yeah, how Love about that?
that? just want to say that I'm the oldest granddaughter, and I'm a favorite, so, yeah. I could say that my grandpa, he wasn't your average grandpa. He gave me a lot of advice. Some advice I didn't really expect, like, for instance, when I turned 21, my mom sent him a picture of me, you know. Wasn't in the best state. He called me the next day. He was like, I see what you did on your 21st birthday. I thought I was going to get this long speech, blah, blah, blah. Basically, he told me I was a lightweight. I need to step my game up. So, yeah. But he always told me so many stories. I can go on and on. To this day is one story that bothers me. He told me that he has a metal plate in his chest. I touched it, and it feels like it. So if anybody here can tell me if that's true or not, please tell me, because I don't know. But the one thing I want to say is that me and my grandpa, we used to always go at it. You know, he's the biggest Michigan State fan. I'm a Michigan fan. Go Blue. Okay. But he always tell me, you know, I'm going to make you come over to the Michigan State side. No, it's going to be Michigan forever. So I know he's listening. I just want to say go Blue, and I love you, and I miss you.
Sierra?
She don't want to talk.
She doesn't want to talk? Okay, can she at least give us a go green or something?
Oh, yeah. There? Go State, go green, go white.
Okay. Thank you. Earl would demand that, so okay, now we are covered on that. I want to thank everybody who has had a hand in this, and I want to especially thank those for their generosity. You can't see in these popcorn bowls, but we got both of them just about full. And that is going to go a long way toward what we're trying to do with this, okay? So thank you for your generosity today. Al, we made it through this list. Hard to believe. When I saw what we had this morning, I said, people are going to have sleeping bags.
But, yeah, it was a long one, but we got through it.
But we are through, yeah. And it's time for our personal remembrances of Earl. And as his successor, as someone I know he was so proud of for the job you've done at WKAR, our friend Al Martin.
Well, first off, thank you for everybody who came out today. I know Earl is looking down right now with a huge grin on his face right now. And, you know, for me, you know, being in this room and hearing all of these stories, I mean, all of you share memories and thoughts of what Earl meant to you guys. I think everybody sitting in here would say that's pretty inspiring. Yeah. I mean, if we all can live a life like that, to touch people in a positive way each and every day we wake up, that's a life well lived. And, you know, as I stated earlier in the program, you know, I'll never forget when I was at, because if you don't know, before I was at WKAR, I was at WLNS-TV6 as a sports reporter and anchor there. And before I got the job at WKAR, you know, I remember... you know, it's the whole process and doing the interview, and then they offer me the job, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I had never done radio before. Never done radio before. I was just a TV guy. And I was incredibly nervous, and especially when you talk about Earl Robinson. I mean, he's a legend. You know, 39 years at WKAR. But to reiterate a point I made earlier on in the program, I mean, Earl... he was just so inviting, and he gave me the confidence to take over for him. And, you know, it wasn't easy, though. I tell you what, before I got into a groove that I am kind of in right now, you know, I've been there 6 years now. I remember when I first got on the air, like those first 2 months, you know, it's like, all right, I'm the new kid. I was like 21, 22 years old, and Earl's callers would call up to the show, and they would, like, challenge the heck out of me. Because it's like a rite of passage, right? I mean, taking over Earl Robinson, let's see what this young kid knows. And I'll never forget, the second month I was on the air, I don't know which caller it was, but they called up, and they asked about, you know, last night's Dodgers baseball game. And I'm sitting there saying... okay, he's put me on the spot right now. And, you know, at the time, I was just all diehard football and basketball. And I'm just like, yeah, of course I saw the game last night. Meanwhile, I'm like Googling on my laptop as he's talking to me. And I'll never forget, you know, Earl, and he told me this before I took over. He was like, Al, you got to be prepared. Be prepared. And he was such a stickler at that. And I'm like, you know, Earl, you know, sports is like a 24-hour news cycle now. How can you have vast knowledge about everything? And he took me through his routine. So I kind of got an insight. Again, it just shows you how open and willing he was to show me how to do this job the correct way. He gave me an insight into the formula that he used. You know, he would wake up, work out, right, of course, and then he would read the Lansing State Journal sports page. Then he would go to the Detroit Free Press sports page. Then the Detroit News sports page. Then he would read Yahoo Sports. Then he would go to Sports Illustrated. Then he would go to Bleacher Report. In total, 10 publications that he would read on the daily, taking notes on each and every one. So even if he didn't watch it, he had some knowledge of it. Earl Robinson was about being an expert and a perfectionist at everything that he did on the air. And that is a pressure that elevated me into becoming a better journalist. And he was an even better man, as you heard in this room. I mean, Earl Robinson was just a good human being. And, you know, when I was watching Jack's show that one night when we got word that that Earl had passed away, it was like, it was like a ton of bricks hit you, right? You know, I mean, didn't see it coming at all. And you immediately you begin to think about all the good times and the good memories that you have and the impact that he has on your life. And that's what we all carry with us. And with that being said, too, you know, in the closets of WKAR, there is still a lot of Earl still there. And our development guys actually sent me an email earlier this week, and they said, "Hey, Al, you know, we just found this box entitled Sports Talk with Earl, and we have DVDs, well, not DVDs, excuse me, CDs, 2019, right? Who even uses CDs anymore? But CDs of Earl's broadcast from, like, 2003 all the way up until he retired. So I brought these here. You know, if you want to take a little piece of Earl with you, you know, these are up here for you guys as well. And there's also, I told Jack this, and I have a big, I got to bring it out, but there's a big bucket I have in my car right now because there is, in the studio that Earl did his show for 39 years, there's a cabinet that's off to the side. And one day, you know, I couldn't sleep and I went to work, and I'm always up late, kind of like Jack, not till 5 a.m., though. That's crazy. But I went to work one night. And, you know, this is like a few days after the news that came out that Earl had passed. And I walked into his old studio, and I just kind of sat down. You know, I'm the only one there. It's so quiet. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, wow, if these walls could talk, right? And then all of a sudden, I look to my left, and there's this huge cabinet. I call it Earl's cabinet. And it has all of these media guides and old sports books and, you know, books of motivation and on spirituality that Earl had read over the years, and they're just sitting there. I'm like, wow, it hasn't been touched. So I brought some of that also with me, and, you know, if you guys want to take some of that home with you as well, you are more than welcome to do so. But Earl, heck of a day, right? this is for you, man, and I know you're up there enjoying and waiting on all of us. All right, so thank you.
Al Martin, again, he's going to be on Press Pass tomorrow night, and you can hear an hour-long tribute. I'm sure you're going to talk a lot about this Monday. Current Sports, AM 870. And I'm glad when you told the story about all the papers, the Lansing State Journal, Detroit News, Free Press, that he had them in the right order. Started with the Lansing State Journal, so I want to say that. In closing, I just have a couple of stories about Earl that illustrate how special he was. And I'm not going to try to tell any more jokes. I think Irvin set the bar at the moon on that one. But there are two other things I want to say about Earl that maybe you know a little bit of. Maybe you can just imagine it happening. But he and I solved all the world's problems every night, usually after midnight. And we would have these long conversations. I knew every day he talked to Tiny. And then I knew if he didn't talk to me, Tiny had tired him out and he'd fallen asleep. But I learned more from Earl Robinson, not about sports, because he was usually wrong about that when we would argue, but about life and about people than I have from any other human being. And he taught me about racial sensitivity. He taught me about how to get along. He taught me about being colorblind. And he would tell me, you know, you can do things that I can't do. And I said, well, let's run a little experiment. So on one of our road trips, we stopped at a convenience store and got gas and walked in. And he always had to have some snacks, right? You heard about the popcorn and the potato chips from Jeremy back there. So he would go in and he'd get stuff. And I could have stole the place blind because nobody was looking at me. There were always four people looking at him. And we came out to the car and I said, you're right. And then we decided we were going to try to do something really silly. We were going to go to three basketball games in three cities in two states in one day. And we started with a noon women's game at Breslin Center. And as soon as that clock hit zero, we were on the way to Ann Arbor to see Michigan-Purdue men. And as soon as that was done, we're on our way to Columbus to see Michigan State and Ohio State play. And we would have made it for the tip-off, except we got stopped. And Earl was driving. And I said, Earl, you're only going maybe five over. I mean, you don't drive that fast. And we weren't speeding. He said, I'm going to get a ticket. Watch this. Sure enough, officer comes up, looks in the car. I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but it's important. The officer looks in the car at me and says, are you okay, sir? Of course, Earl got the ticket, didn't get a break. We get to the game. It's about 6 minutes in. Watch the game. Happy when we leave. Driving back. He says, why don't you drive, just in case? It's okay. So I'm driving Earl's car, and I'm going about 12 over. Here come the lights behind. And I said, oh, crap, I can't believe, man, we had two tickets in one day. He said, you're not going to get a ticket. Officer comes up to the car, takes my information, goes back, comes back and says, slow down a little, will you? Okay? That's the kind of stuff that I lived and learned with Earl Robinson. But there's one thing that symbolizes who he was as a person as much as anything else. If you talk to Earl, the one dream he always had was going to a Rose Bowl. He wanted to go to Rose Bowl so bad. He grew up watching the Rose Bowl. Michigan State wasn't in the Rose Bowl. And he wasn't going to go watch Ohio State. He wasn't going to go and watch Michigan. And finally, in 1987, with Lorenzo White and company, Michigan State goes to the Rose Bowl. And he is so excited. And then one day I said to him, so when's your flight? When are we leaving? He says, well, I don't think I'm going. I said, Earl, you don't think you're going. If WKAR isn't going to send you, I'm going to have a picket around WKAR. He says, no, that's not it. But it's Jim Adams' last year. And he's going to retire, and he should go. And Jim Adams went to that Rose Bowl. And Earl said, I'll go the next time. So the next time for Michigan State turned out to be 9 months after his retirement. And he didn't get to go to that game either. So I promised you I'd do this. Michigan State at some point, maybe this year, next year, whatever, is going to go to the Rose Bowl. And I'm going to take this program, and I'm going to leave it in Pasadena. So a little bit of you is going to get to be there anyway. Little buddy, I hope you enjoyed this. And you got an outpouring of love here. Family, friends, colleagues, everybody. Want to thank everybody who helped with this. And thank you so much on this Saturday afternoon.